In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is
and
shall be.
Near our house, there is a trail system that I use regularly that I've referenced many times in previous homilies. And certainly, I've been using this trail system long enough to recognize that there is an annual occurrence that takes place. Every year in the late winter or in the early spring, around that time of year, one section of the trail completely disappears as it becomes overgrown. This particular section, it has a slight slope to it, but it's basically level field area, and it's at the base of this hill, and so during the rainy season, all of that runoff comes and kind of floods the area and saturates the ground with this water. So what happens in the late winter and the early spring? All the wild grasses and the weeds go crazy, and all this water that has come and filled this area and this dry ground. And every year at that time, the trail from the previous year completely becomes obliterated. It becomes overgrown by the new growth. And eventually, someone will come along and be tired of the fact that the trail has disappeared, knowing that once there was a trail there, I'm sure, and they're brave enough that they just walk through these high weeds and kind of trample them down and make their own trail, so to speak. And every year at that time, once that happens, inevitably, people will follow suit and that becomes the trail. People begin walking on it and trampling on it more and more until those plants fade away and bare ground is exposed, and that year's trail has become formed. The interesting thing is it's never exactly in the same place from year to year. It's around the same area, but it kind of goes in a different direction based on whoever is that first brave soul to brave their way through the tall grass and so forth. Well, there's many elements of the gospel parable that are illustrated in that area of my life, in this area of this field. We recognize the hardiness and the growth of weeds and grasses, and we recognize how the water is so necessary to their growth, and when the ground dries, they don't grow, and we recognize that when we walk on plants, they don't live. Eventually, that kills off a plant. Jesus chose an example in his parable, as all his parables. He chose an example from the daily life of the people that were hearing him. He chose something that was easy for them to understand, something that they could grasp. His hearers understood how crops grow. His hearers understood how crops need to be cultivated. And so Jesus uses that basic framework that they understand as an application and an image of our spiritual life. The sower in the parable, of course, is Christ himself. And the seed that is sown is the word of God, as Christ himself said. And the soil in the parable is the human heart. And the quality of the soil is ultimately what determines the outcome of the crops. The quality of the soil isn't frozen in place and time. It's not stuck in one state or another. But the soil actually is changeable. The soil of the heart can be cultivated. And if it's afflicted by one of these things that Jesus brings to our attention, that condition can be changed by the proper course. You see, the soil of our heart is ultimately in the realm of our own control. Now, the failure of the crops is not because of the sower. The sower, again, is Christ. Christ knows what he's doing. It's not that his technique is off and he needs to change his technique as the sower. He knows what he's doing. The failure of the crops can't be blamed on the quality of the seed. It's the seed, again, is the word of God. And God's word is powerful and effective, and God's word doesn't fail. It produces the results that it is allowed to produce in our lives. So the failure of the crops has to do with one thing alone, and that is the soil quality. Christ described various conditions of the heart in this image of the soil quality. He described some soil as being a well-traversed path, where it has become hard-packed, and the seed could not penetrate because the ground was so hard. He described another another section of soil as being rocky and without water. And so though the seed could spring to life, it couldn't grow roots and withered away. He also described some soil as being full of weeds and thorns. And so there, even though the seed can sprout to life, it could not thrive because the thorns and the thistles overtake it. It's overtaken by the weeds. And finally, he described the good ground where the seed grew to maturity, producing its own seed, growing up to maturity and fruitfulness itself. We need to understand that we can cultivate the soil of our hearts. We need to understand that the way in which we live our lives either cultivates our heart or it does not. And if we cultivate our heart becomes receptive to the Word of God. If we cultivate our heart, the seed of God's Word will grow and thrive. If we cultivate our heart, the Word of God will grow up in us unto maturity and even produce fruit in us. But if we don't cultivate our heart, it does not. It's really that simple. So consider each of these conditions of the soil that Jesus addresses. First, that condition of the soil, the pathway, the ground that is very hard. And think about it. The application is easy. The heart that is hard is not receptive to the Word of God. We have to understand that God's Word doesn't penetrate when our heart is hard. It doesn't get through to us. It's not reaching us. And so what we must do is we must make certain that the soil of our heart is not hard, but is in fact soft. So we have to get out the pickaxe and the shovel, so to speak, and turn over that ground that is hard so it's once again receptive to seed. And how do we do that, spiritually speaking? We break up the hard places of our heart through repentance, through an invoking of God's mercy. The hardened pathway becomes softened as it's exposed to the mercy and the grace of God as we undergo the acts of repentance. Then that second condition, the dry and rocky soil, that's no place for a plant to thrive. Plants need water. They need their roots to grow deep. Rocks can prevent roots from growing deep, from fully forming. And so it is that in our lives there can be these so-called rocks that prevent growth in us. Rocks that prevent our roots from growing deep. Perhaps it's our attachment to superficial things, and that blocks us from growing roots and becoming deeper as believers. Whatever that thing might be that blocks us from growing and from our roots to truly form, we have to get rid of those things. We have to dig up the rocks and get rid of them. And likewise, we need the living waters of grace to flow into our hearts. If our hearts are dry, it's not going to sustain the life of God's Word. We have to fill our hearts with the waters, the living waters of grace. And so we have to go to those sources of grace. We have to expose our heart to grace consistently, lest it dry out. So where do we find grace? We find grace in very easy and abundant areas of our life. Through prayer, through reading the Scripture, through the context of worship, these are all avenues by which grace fills our hearts once again, and the living waters of God's grace fills our heart and softens it and keeps it moist. And then that last condition is that good seed that is sown in the context of thorns and weeds, and it's overwhelmed and overtaken by them. Jesus described this condition as the care for riches and the pleasures of life. And these are clearly things that can choke out spiritual life in us. And we need to be aware of this. We need to attend to our heart. We need to do spiritual weeding in our heart. We have to take inventory and recognize those areas of our heart that are afflicted by things that take us away from God. And what we need to do is develop the spiritual disciplines that counteract the power of these weeds that crop up in our hearts. So for things like the care of riches, what we have to do is we have to develop the art of giving, generosity. We have to learn to tithe. We have to learn to give alms. We have to learn to practice generosity rather than being stingy. And for the pleasures of life, we need to develop our personal asceticism. You know, some pleasures are pleasures of the kingdom of God. There's pleasure in serving God and knowing God. This isn't what Christ is addressing. And there's certainly pleasures in this life that are not sinful pleasures. They're not wrong in and of themselves. But if we make our whole life about pleasure, then we are misdirected. And we cannot live our life in such a way. We have to learn the balance that is in life. And sometimes we have to go to work and we have to do chores and things that we might not like that are not pleasurable, but they're necessary. And that's what maturity calls us to. And thus it is, we have to develop a personal asceticism in our life where we practice fasting and prayer, where we practice things like simplicity and silence. We practice these things and it balances that pursuit of pleasure so that the pursuit of pleasure is not that driving force in us that compels us and calls us to action all the time. We can create a heart that is cultivated by cultivating our heart through these actions. Our heart can be softened if it is hard. It can be softened through repentance by being exposed to the mercy and grace of God. Our heart can be moistened by the living waters of God's living grace as it comes and fills our hearts. And our heart, if it's overtaken by weeds, it can be weeded through our ascetic practices. Our hearts can, in fact, regardless of what state we find them in, they can become as good soil. It just takes some tending. It takes some cultivation. Our hearts can become good soil, soil in which the Word of God grows and thrives. God's Word can grow in us unto maturity, even producing fruit, even to 100-fold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.